is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. I'm Kyle Bailey. Kyle Reed here from the Douglas Forest Protective Association. We've been on the air twice in the last week now, and apparently, when we're on the radio talking about fires, they don't happen locally.
This is my new prevention plan. We're going to continue these weekly phone calls or these weekly meetings. That way, we have no fires. It's worked out great so far.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to continue quite like that. But it's been interesting to be at this point in the mid-late August now, and to have the fires be so not there.
Yeah. Like you mentioned, we went all weekend without a fire. We actually have to go back to last Tuesday till we had our last fire, which was a small structure fire, which spread to the surrounding vegetation. So I just want to thank all the communities for doing their part, following the public use restrictions. Even the violations for public use restriction calls were down quite a bit this weekend. I only had one or two of those as well. So everybody's doing what they can right now to prevent fires, and we're really appreciative of that.
Well, and people are out and about, though, enjoying the warm temperatures and doing what they can activity-wise. So I'm still a little bit surprised you didn't have any over the weekend.
Yeah, you know, we're to that time of year where it doesn't take much to start a fire. Any little spark can do it. So, you know, I was really surprised we didn't have anything either, but very thankful at the same time.
So talk about the weather. How are we charting right now in terms of weather conditions?
Yeah, so just like you mentioned before we came on here, we're looking at temperatures here in the area in the mid-80s to low-90s for the next week to 10 days, so pretty normal there. You know, one of the things that has been really helping so far this year is our winds. So our winds have not been out of the south much, and with all the fires in Northern California, that's a little bit worrisome when you get those southerly flows, because that could push smoke up into our area and really limit, from our side of things, visibility for detection. So luckily, a lot of that smoke has kind of drifted more northeast, really impacted the, you know, Lakeview, Klamath Falls area and parts of Central Oregon. But so far, we've been very lucky there.
Yeah, and we could easily have a lot of obnoxious smoke right now if the winds were shifting.
Yeah, exactly. I can think of a number of different times throughout the years where you've got that smoke out of the Happy Camp area or other areas in Northern California. And, you know, the Rogue Valley and the Umpqua Basin, it just gets socked in.
So what about lightning? That's always an issue this time of year.
Yeah, so there's actually a threat of lightning here for the next couple days, for both Northern California, Northern Nevada, and portions of Oregon. So for our area, there's a really slight chance of lightning, mainly today. They think it's going to miss us, going to stay farther to the south and east, but there's always that possibility. After today, it looks like we're going to be pretty good. But when you look at the rest of the area, Northern California again, Northern Nevada, and kind of eastern Oregon, they're going to see lightning off and on through the better part of this week. So that's definitely something we're going to be watching. Might not be affecting us directly with fires, but definitely a drawdown of resources and potential smoke impacts.
And of course, some of the big fires over the years have come from lightning.
Yeah, exactly. When you go back here locally to 2013 to the Douglas Complex, that was lightning caused fires, about 54 fires that started overnight. Again, 2002 was a really big lightning year. And then when you go back to 1987, there was a really big lightning storm that covered most of southern Oregon. And there were fires all over the Umpqua Valley. And that lightning storm actually came right about this time of year. So again, it's something we're watching, hoping doesn't happen, but we're ready if it does.
You said Douglas Complex was 2013?
2013.
Boy, and I can remember literally walking out of my house that morning. I had a pickup then. It was parked in front. As I got into it, I looked up towards Mount Nebo, and I went, uh-oh. And I was like, that's thunder. That's not good. And I remember you were on speed dial by the time. I had not been here all that long, and listening to the scanner, it was just chasing fires everywhere.
Yeah, that was a kind of a unique event for us. They'd been calling for lightning for about a week before that every day. Lightning activity level of 5 and 6, which is pretty good chances of lightning, really hot temperatures. and nothing really developed. And we got to the point, I think it was like a Friday, or Friday or Saturday, and they finally said the threat of lightning is gone now and things are going to be back to normal. And then kind of a mystery rogue cell developed over the to the south of us and came right up the gut over the Cow Creek Canyon. We had a little bit in the Tiller Country and just really lit us up, and we had fires everywhere.
So what's our long-range forecast in terms of weather?
Yeah, so looking at the long-range forecast, you know, we're starting to get some mixed signals here. You know, it's really hard to predict weather, you know, a week or 10 days out, let alone a month or 3 months out. So, you know, the National Weather Service is calling for temperatures for September to be above normal and kind of an equal chance for precipitation. Not really a great outlook there. And that's kind of what we've seen most of the summer so far. And then for their three-month outlook, they're kind of calling for the same thing there, above normal temperatures and kind of an equal chance for precipitation one way or the other. The forecast that we're getting from the meteorologist at the Department of Forestry is slightly different. So he uses a different method to look. He goes back in time and looks at previous years, kind of sees where we're tracking compared to those years and what happened there. So what he's kind of looking at is, you know, September could be cooler than normal and kind of right on that break of normal precipitation to slightly above normal precipitation. And kind of for the long range air again from September through November, it's kind of the same thing where, you know, kind of right at normal to slightly below normal temperatures with kind of normal precipitation in that time period. So it's going to be interesting to see what develops in that time frame.
What do the models show us going forward?
Yeah, so from there, it looks like, you know, everyone's kind of pointing towards a movement towards a La Nina event. So the La Nina event for us typically brings cooler temperatures and wet patterns to the Pacific Northwest in the winter months. So, you know, the last La Nina event we had, I believe, was like 2016, 2017, and that was a fairly wet year for us.
So what about fires in Oregon? Now, we don't have any here, but they're certainly happening in other places.
Yeah, so there's a number of fires. So the fires that happened in California, that those thunderstorms tracked kind of on the east side of the Cascades, up the crest and across the east side. And there's fires scattered all over on the east side of Oregon right now. So currently there's 15 large fires. So when we're talking large fires, again, it's fires that are 100 acres or larger in timber or 300 acres or larger in grasslands. So there's 15 large fires in eastern Oregon, the largest of which is the Indian Creek Fire, which is in the Vail BLM district near Gentura, which is about 49,000 acres.
And we've got some firefighters, not from this area, but other parts of the state that got sent down to California, right?
We did. So there were personnel from the state fire marshal's office that were mobilized. So those are going to be people from different fire departments throughout the state. And they went down for basically anything that was needed from structure protection to the wildland side of things. So, you know, that was a request that came from the Emergency Management Office out of California to the Oregon Office of Emergency Management, and they were able to find some resources to send down to help out down there.
Now, do we have, now we've got the folks, teams that are over in eastern Oregon, right?
Yeah, so there's actually, the Oregon Department of Forestry has three incident management teams, and two of those are currently deployed in eastern Oregon. So one of those teams is on the Steep Mountain and Laurel Fire, which is a complex of fires. That's about 2,000 acres in size near the Spray and Monument areas. Things sound like it's going pretty good over there. Overall, those fires are 70% contained. The Laurel fires give them a little bit more problems. That things are looking better over there every day. And then outside of Sisters, ODF's other team is on the Green Ridge Fire, which is about 4,000 acres, 12 miles northwest of Sisters, at 2% containment. You know, the reports I've been getting, again, sounds like they're getting a handle on that. There's still a lot of work to do in front of them. Those teams are a big resource for the state. DFP has used them multiple times here locally, brought them in to help with the large fires like Douglas Complex, Horse Prairie, Cable Crossing, Milepost 97, those large fire events. And we actually have personnel that are assigned to those teams. So we have people that are out right now helping out in those communities.
So you talked about the California fires. What's involved in the groups from Oregon that went down there? Kind of explain more about how that process works.
Yeah, so those requests, again, come in from California to the Office of Emergency Management. And this is, you know, the same process that's happened in the past where DFPA, ODF, the State Fire Marshal, and other local fire departments in Oregon have gone down. So typically they're looking for specific types of equipment or personnel. So they were able to pull together five task forces of engines that went down. So again, those resources are doing a number of different things down there, everything from structure protection to burnout operations to kind of you name it down there, whatever's needed. They're a very versatile resource. They have kind of everything they need.
How do they decide which groups from Oregon end up going down south?
Yeah, so on the structural side of things, that's kind of coordinated through the State Fire Marshal's office. So they kind of put out some feelers to see, you know, what agencies are available. They've got task forces that are pre-identified going into fire season every year, so they have kind of an idea, you know, this department's going to provide one and that department's going to provide another, and they kind of make those up on a county by county basis. So you'll have, for example, the Lane County strike team that goes down, and there's, you know, 5 to 6 engines from different departments in Lane County, so they have those ahead of time. And then depending on, you know, what's happening in their area and the need and how far away and some different factors, they decide which ones are going.
And what else is happening in California fire-wise?
Fire in California right now is kind of a crazy situation. So that lightning storm passed over on August 15th, and since then they've had 12,000 lightning strikes, with about 500 in the last 24 hours. They've had some more lightning down there in the Lake Tahoe area. Since the 15th, they've had 615 new fires. A lot of those they've got on pretty early and taken care of. But, you know, there are, about 30 large fire incidents in California right now. A couple of those complexes are very large in size. So when you think of our large fires we've had here locally on DFPA, our largest fire has been about 48,000 acres. They've got two complexes down there that are, you know, one's 350,000 acres in size, the other's 347,000 acres. So these are huge fires. Altogether, over 1.1 million acres burned down there from these lightning fires have occurred in the last week. So a massive effort down there in California to get this stuff taken care of.
Kyle Reed from the Douglas Forest Protective Association back in a moment. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. Inside Douglas County, a presentation of Concrete Builder Supply on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249. Lars Larson coming at 1. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, State Representative Cedric Hayden will be with us. And later this week, a special series with Dan Bain, longtime broadcaster in radio, television, and newspaper writing for the past few years. Dan Bain is finally retiring. Am I supposed to say it like that? We're going to interview Dan Bain for a couple of days, Thursday and Friday, on Inside Douglas County. And Kyle Reed of the Douglas Forest Protective Association with us. So you've got folks going other places, but still a lot of people available.
Yes and no. So, you know, here locally, we've got a lot of people here still. Like I mentioned earlier, we are supporting the large fires that ODF is engaged on in Eastern Oregon. Personnel goes out with those incident management teams to help there. We've also sent a couple engines and some resources to help over there. One of the ODF helicopters that is normally stationed here, it's a statewide resource again. It was moved to La Grande to help with those fires in that area. The big thing that we're seeing right now between the fires, somewhat here in Eastern Oregon, but really in California and other parts of the West, is a drawdown in available resources. So Friday we were notified that there were no hand crews, 20-person contract hand crews available left in the state of Oregon, that they'd all been assigned to fires. So that was really concerning to us. We've canceled some days off to make some additional personnel here available for us. We're staffing a third dozer, which we typically only do during lightning events or extreme periods of fire danger. So we're doing what we can to beef up up our initial attack response because of the potential downturn in extended attack resources.
Because you've got to be ready. Should we get a fire going here, you can't have everybody or too many people elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one of the things that happens when you get to this stage of fire season across Oregon and nationally is they really start evaluating, you know, what resources are going where. So it's not just a matter of getting on the phone and saying, I need 5 20-person crews and 7 helicopters and 27 dozers or whatever. You start competing with other fires, and they're looking at, you know, the risks and, you know, homes that are threatened and life and property and those kinds of things. So it's not just we've got a fire, we need stuff. We've, at this point, it's really looking at the bigger picture overall.
Any idea how many people from Oregon are in California right now?
You know, I don't have even a guess at this point. You know, I know that the state fire marshal had, you know, 5 strike teams that went down. So those typically have 5 to 6 engines. So, you know, you're looking probably 50 to 70 people there. In terms of contract crews, I don't have any idea how many of them are down there right now, but probably quite a few of them.
Well, and I've heard locally some from this area where some folks are down there. And that just seems like, looking at those California fire pictures, just pretty ominous.
Yeah, there's been quite a bit of stuff going on down there. Obviously, when you've got that much fire on the landscape and you're picking up new fires every day, some of which are holdover lightning and some of which are new fire starts, there's a lot going on. And, you know, when you get down there into California, a lot of that's, you know, really light, flashy fuels. You've got a lot of vegetation that has oils and resins and stuff like that, which makes it very flammable. And then you've got all the people and the homes and the communities, which really complicates the firefighting side of things for wildland fire. So when you combine all that together, there's a lot of stuff going on down there.
It seems like there are numerous areas down there as well where folks live in these forested areas, and so you've got the issue of sometimes not much defensible space.
Yep, the wildland-urban interface, and that's exactly what we've talked about numerous times. That's what happened down on the campfire a couple years ago. You know, they're in paradise. Is a beautiful area. People move there for the beauty and, you know, having their 5 acres at the end of the road, but there wasn't a lot of defensible space that was created and maintained. And, you know, given the extreme conditions on that fire and what they're seeing right now, and it's hard to fire in those conditions, let alone trying to protect structures and critical infrastructure and stuff like that when there's not adequate defensible space ahead of time. So that's why it's really important for homeowners to take the time before a fire's on the landscape, go out there, do the mowing, reduce the vegetation, limb up trees, get rid of the underbrush, and all those things make a big difference before a fire actually happens.
And some of those areas as well, because you have people so sparsely populated that you have a lot of times unimproved roads or barely improved roads, and then you get these fires going and it gets hard for people to get out of there.
Yeah, we run into that here quite a bit too, even on some of the logging roads and stuff like that, where, you know, either they originally were created for a large fire apparatus or they're not used frequently, and they start brushing in, getting overgrown. And there's a lot of times we actually have to cut our way into those, take a dozer through them and open them back up. So that's another big issue that we run into quite a bit.
About a minute and a half left. What's ahead later this week?
So looking ahead, one of our big concerns is bow season, which opens up next weekend. You know, when you get into bow season, there's a lot of people heading out to the woods, recreating and hunting and doing things like that. So there's an increased chance of fires to occur. So, you know, first of all, there's a lot of land out there that's in private ownership that's closed right now due to the fire danger. Those closures are in place with the private landowner. So if you are going to be hunting, make sure you check with the appropriate landowner to see if their ground's open or not. From there, the public use restrictions remain in effect. So we're still at an extreme fire danger right now. You know, off-road driving's restricted. You need to have your fire tools and water. There's no chainsaw use right now. No campfires unless you're in designated campground. So all those things are in place, again, to prevent new fire starts.
Didn't the horse Horse Prairie Fire, didn't that start with bow season?
Correct. So the Horse Prairie Fire in 2017, which was one of our large fires, actually started opening day of bow season out in kind of a rural area. Very likely could have been hunter related. So that fire is actually still under investigation at this time, several years later. But again, going forward, we're hoping that people are safe, follow the restrictions, and we don't have any more fires.
And if they need more information, give them your website resources.
Yep, so we're online at dfpa.net. We have an information line, 672-0379, where you can get the fire danger and restrictions, as well as all of our stuff is posted on our social media accounts. And if you need to talk to somebody in person, feel free to give us a call at the office at 672-6507.
Kyle Reed of the Douglas Forest Protective Association, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.